Hello and welcome to Anna With Two Ends English Podcast, episode number 53. I'm very excited to bring you another guest episode today. And today I'm going to be chatting with somebody very special. She's pretty famous out there in the online English teaching world. And she's just started a new channel, a new project in something very innovative in English. In fact, there are only two people at the moment, including herself, doing what she's doing. So I asked her to come on the show to talk about it. I'm thrilled that she agreed to do it and very grateful that she's come on to talk to us a little bit about it. And we had a fantastic discussion and I hope you enjoy it now. But before we go anywhere, let's have some nice samba music, please. Well, welcome, Emma. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast today. I'm not going to introduce you too much. I'm going to let you do that. But I'm a big, just so you know, guys, I'm a huge fan of Emma's, and Emma has some fantastic channels and a new channel, which we're going to be talking a little bit about. So Emma, I'm going to pass it over to you. Do you want to give us a bit of an introduction? Some people may already know you. You're a little bit famous out there in the teacher. I'm a little bit starstruck, I have to say. It's very funny to be speaking to you face to face because I see you all the time.
I'm a normal person, I promise. Like, it's so weird because people say that to me, like, you know, if I reply to their DMs or something, like, oh my God, I wasn't expecting a reply. I'm like, I do check them or I try. Yeah, so yeah, to introduce myself, it's kind of weird now. I don't know how to introduce myself anymore. But my name is Emma. That's what I could start with. I originally started the channel Pronunciation with Emma because there is just a great lack, or at the time when I started, there was, I think there still is, a great lack of pronunciation and authentic listening materials for like intermediate and above. And of course, I teach in the UK. Now I teach predominantly online, but before I taught in Bristol, which is where I still am. And a lot of students, they had a lot of problems understanding me. Like I would say stuff like, oh, there's a car over there. And they're like, car there? and I kind of had to like say things with like an American accent, like car, there's a car over there. And they're like, ah, yes, yes, I understand now. I thought, wow, this is really not good. Like, it's a good thing I'm a teacher and I can, you know, adapt my speech, but not everyone is going to do that. And not everyone you encounter in the UK and in life in general, anywhere in the world, is going to be so kind and forgiving and polite and adapt to their speech. People just aren't going to do that in everyday life. And some learners don't know that because they're so used to their teacher adapting. I thought, right, I need to create something here. So I had a research online, as one does before they start doing their channels and stuff, like where is the gap in the market? And I was trying to find some like pronunciation videos and stuff like that, but they were so robotic and so like, I don't want to say boring, but I'm going to say it. Like, so
no, you can say boring. Boring is, yeah. We can say boring, it's fine.
So long as I don't mention any channels names, yes. I think it's okay. But, you know, some of them were quite boring because they were very robotic in their pronunciation. And some of them were a little bit eerie, like they were a bit creepy with the videos because they were so robotic and so scripted. I thought, okay, there's definitely a niche here for some non-robotic pronunciation teachers. I found loads of American ones, but I couldn't find any British ones, you know, using the terms British and American English are quite controversial nowadays, but I'll use the terms generally. There were no British pronunciation teachers that were just not robotic and that were human. So I thought, right, okay, I study linguistics. I know about pronunciation inside and out. I enjoyed transcription because I'm weird and I'm going to do it. I'm going to go ahead. But I just didn't have the confidence on camera. Like, you know, people watch my videos now and they're like, what, you don't like being on camera? But Emmy, you're always on camera. You're everywhere on social media. I'm on like 5 different social media platforms now. It's weird. But when I started about 3 years ago, I could never have even imagined like sitting here doing this podcast with you and you saying, oh my God, Emma, I'm starstruck. Like, honestly, I would have been like, no, you're pulling my leg. But yeah, I started just on Instagram making a few videos and I was too shy to actually make videos. They were just posts. And I realized, this isn't like really working. You know, how can I be a pronunciation page and not have any videos of like my mouth, of me? Because, you know, sometimes I wonder, people maybe think I'm a bit egotistic, but you know, but you need to see my mouth and my face and the movements and everything for pronunciation. For grammar, you know, it doesn't matter so much, but for pronunciation, it's really important. So yeah, I started with that and I started talking to another English teacher who was pretty big at the time, still really big now, actually he's bigger now than he was before, of course. And he said, Emmy, you need to make videos. I said, no, but I'm scared. What if people call me ugly? What if people call me fat? Da 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 da. It's like, no, Emma, you'll be fine. You just need to make, you know, these videos, get them out there. And actually I've had the opposite. I've had loads of perverts instead. So it's been the opposite experience. I thought people were gonna, you know, comment horrible things about my appearance, which of course I have. But yeah, it's kind of gone the opposite end of the spectrum. Been a female on social media, it's bound to happen. So yeah, I started that, and very, very recently, exactly 3-4 weeks ago, I started Procrastination with Emma. So it's like a little offshoot. I have Pronunciation with Emma. Which is my professional stuff. And then I have, professional. It's all professional, but I mean cleaner, polished, you know, professional stuff. And then I have Procrastination with Emma, which is my gaming channel. And there's only me and another girl who teach English on Twitch. We are the only two English teachers on Twitch. So yes, it's something really, really new. I'm kind of hoping that more teachers will come across to Twitch in the future and teach me video games. But at the same time, it's like, it's nice just being like me and this other girl, because it's like, we are the community, you know, we can kind of do what we want and pave the way for this new way of teaching. So yeah, that's me.
a lot there, and I'm going to just pick up on a couple, before we talk about Procrastination with Emma, which I think is really interesting, because I remember when I saw that you were launching that, because I could see on your stories you would sometimes talk about video games and then that you were going to launch this and you were going to do it on Twitter. So I'm going to ask you about that, but I have to agree with you about the video thing. I mean, your videos are great and they're Thank short you. They're sweet, but they one thing I really like about them is that they're very it's just very specific and very practical. Like, you can watch that video and at the end of that video you have a very good idea about how to pronounce that word. Like, it's not fluffy, it's very specific, like to the point, and I think that's really good. But Thank I have you. To say I also have that fear thing. I think when you start on social media, it's like you don't want to put yourself out there too much, but it's like a catch 22, because you kind of have to put yourself, we say in English, to put yourself out there, which is like to leave your comfort zone, to grow, really. So it's kind of it's a bit of a catch 22. I totally agree with you about you don't want to come across as being like, I don't know how you'd say it in English, like up yourself, like you're in all your videos and you're kind of, you know, it's all about me. But like you said, people want to see people like in videos. So I've also had my fair share of the pervert thing.
Yeah. I think a lot of us have, like, even some male teachers have said they've had one or two messages. I'm like, one or two? I get like one or two a day. You know, like one or two in your whole lifespan on, you know, on social media. I would love that kind of experience, but yeah, it's something that happens.
Have you had any I think I saw once that you said, there was one post or something, you said, don't ask me if I'm single, I'm never going to marry you, mate, or something like this. And I was thinking, you must have had some marriage proposals or some kind of...
you can't imagine, like, all the time. Actually, during a Twitch stream, may have been last week actually, someone was like trying to flirt with me in the chat, and I just ignored them because, you know, I get that kind of stuff every day, and the best thing to do is ignore them. And because they get bored, very quickly, and then they
so
move
fast
on to the next
yes.
teacher. Yeah, they probably move on to you next, you know.
they just move around. Yeah,
they kind of like cast the line and they wait for a woman fish to bite, you know. That's kind of like how it is. They probably messaged the exact same message to like 200 other teachers, but even people in my community now, they've started to say like, mate, stop embarrassing yourself, she has a boyfriend, she's been with him for 7 years now, like, you're not gonna have a chance. Why? Some of them were a bit mean, like, why would she marry a random person like you and stuff like that. Like, guys, calm down. But I mean, they're right, you know. Why would we just see this random person in our DMs and marry them? Like, oh my god, I've never met someone with such an interesting username. You know, you've really caught my heart with that username and completely anonymous profile pic. Like, let's get married. I've been offered money as well to get married. I have a funny Ooh. Story about that. Yeah, I was offered £4,000 to get married, which I don't think's a lot considering that's like my lifetime.
Not a life,
you know.
Commitment. That's, if you spread that over a number of years, that's not very much.
No. So yeah, this guy, you know, he slid into my DMs and he said, hi, I'm looking for an English wife, I'll pay you £4,000. And at that time, I didn't really have many followers, so I could respond to this kind of stuff. And I just said, you know, this is never going to happen. This isn't appropriate. I'm an English teacher. I'm here to teach. Now I just block these people. But anyway, he then got back to me and he said, okay, if you do know any single British women, had to be British, right? It couldn't be any woman, had to be British. He really wanted a British one. If you know any single British women, please tell them that I'll pay them £5,000 to marry me. And I thought, hang on a second.
Wait, it's gone up.
Offer me £4,000. why am I worth less than someone else? That makes no sense. So yeah, that offended me. Not the marriage request part, but the part that I was worth less.
The increase. Yes, the increase. Yeah. I think my funniest one was, I had a guy who was insistent that he was from the Turkish Air Force and he was going to come to Spain and marry me, and it was all going to be, and I was like, that's great, we're probably not gonna do that. So I think I'll just block you now. But yes, that's like you said, the best way to deal with it is just ignore it. They get bored and then they go to another profile and the next person can ignore them.
That's it. They move on.
So coming back to video games, which I think is fascinating, because I think a lot of people, my brother is a gamer. He plays, I'm not a big gamer myself. I used to play games, but not so much now. But my brother is a big gamer. He plays a game called Rainbow Six Siege, which is like I think it's a shooting game. It's like one of those.
It's a battle.
Yes, it's with a group of people, and they have different scenes and they have to fight for something. I don't know a lot, but he's like
the majority of video games out there.
The majority of video games,
to
be honest.
Yeah. Go around, shoot people and win something. Yeah.
Yeah. So he plays it, and I think people in general have like some people have like a negative view of video games. They're like, oh, video games, just a waste of time, blah blah blah. But so many people play video games. It's like a big contrast. So why did, I know that you're a gamer and I can see that you like games, but why did you want to do this this project, teaching English on video games? What was the reason behind that?
Quite a few reasons. So from my own personal experience, I've learned language through video games. Like, I'm not saying that Crash Bandicoot was my Spanish teacher, you know, that's not what I'm trying to say, but I switch my game languages from time to time into Spanish, or like I did try in Portuguese as well, but I found it quite difficult because there's a lot of very specific vocabulary in video games, a lot. So I find them much easier to play in Spanish than I do in Portuguese. And now I'm learning Japanese, so that's going to be like impossible. Whoa. If I switch the language right now. because I can't even read hiragana and katakana. And I just thought, you know what? I like learning language through video games because I'm focusing so much on the video game that I'm not thinking, oh, what's this grammatical structure that's here? I just pick it up. I just learn it. Or if there's a word or something like that, I think, what's that word? I'll quickly translate it. It's like, oh, and I remember it. It's so weird. You know, I don't know whether you're the same, but in the past, you know, teachers have given me just vocabulary lists and they're like, learn it for the next lesson. And there's like 20 words on there, no context, absolutely nothing given. And I think, God, how am I supposed to remember this list? But in video games, you've got a context, you've got a story to help you remember. Mm. A lot of the time, the characters nowadays in games, they speak, so you hear the pronunciation. A lot of times you can switch on subtitles, so you can see the actual writing and how it's spelt. Like, it's just such a great way to learn. And I prefer learning with video games than TV shows and films. Like, if I say to people, watch Netflix or watch films to improve your English, people don't even bat an eyelid. Like, they don't even really think about it because it's so normalized now to watch Netflix. Like, there's even a plugin now which helps, like, kind of translate for you. It's so normal to learn English with Netflix and TV series. But video games are exactly the same. It's still an experience, but the better thing, that's not good grammar, but the thing that's better about it, that's correct. The thing that's better about it is that it's more interactive. I find that when you're watching a TV series or something, you're just kind of watching. Like, that's it.
Very passive. But
that's it, exactly. And it's quite easy to zone out after a while, I find. But with a video game, it's like, right, I am the main character of the story. In order to progress this film, you know, this experience, I need to be quite attentive and I need to interact. So you kind of become like part of the film, you could say, like part of the experience. It's a lot more active than just watching TV series and stuff. But I think the reason why video games have got such a bad reputation is because of the media. You know, with games like Call of Duty and stuff like that, you are literally just shooting people. And, you know, many people think, well, I can't learn much English from Call of Duty. Well, I disagree because there'll be a lot of very specific vocabulary in there. Yeah, granted, it's not everyday vocabulary, but it depends what your everyday routine is. If playing online with your friends and chatting to people on Discord, which is like, I never know how to explain Discord for people, you know, who don't know, but it's like a kind of like WhatsApp for gamers. That's kind of what I say. You could do voice chats and stuff like that.
Is it attached to any other platform? Is it just a separate thing that you can plug it in? Or is it just like WhatsApp?
It's a separate thing that you install on your device, you know, on your PC or your phone or whatever. And you can just like write and chat to friends, or you can do voice call. You can also share your screen. You can do video call. And it's really good for gamers. Like, I think it's probably the platform with the clearest audio I've ever heard, you know, on a platform, like on a voice calling platform or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very good. So,
I've never heard of it, but I guess it's probably because I'm not a gamer. So maybe I'm not in the circle.
That's it. You're not in the loop.
I'm not in the loop. I'm sure my brother
is. I'm giving away the secrets now. Discord, yeah. Twitch, all these little gamer secrets. But yeah, like you can join something like that. You can have a look on Facebook groups or Reddit or something and have a look, see if you can find people who are interested in similar games to you. So let's say, for example, you really like, I'm just looking at my desktop and trying to pick a game. Okay, let's imagine you really like The Sims, okay? There is a huge Sims community, absolutely huge. Despite the game being out for like 20 years now, well, the franchise, like there are different games now, but the franchise as a whole has been out for about 20 years. And the community is still huge. So you could easily just go on Reddit, try and find some people on there who have a Discord server. So a server is essentially like a group. Imagine it like a group chat on WhatsApp. I'm trying to compare it to something mm-hmm. that people might be familiar with.
imagine it like a group chat on WhatsApp. You join that and there'll be people in there with the same interests as you. So you could start chatting to them and don't go in like, oh, I hate when people do this, but they sometimes join and they're like, hi everyone, I'm Emma from Spain and I want to practice my English. Who wants to practice with me? No one will want to talk to you, mate. No one will want to sit and practice with you because they don't care about your English. They are there to game. They only care about The Sims. So join these servers, you know, for Sims, for what else have I got? Life is Strange, Grand Theft Auto, whatever you enjoy playing. And say, hi, guys. I really enjoy playing Fall Guys, Sims, insert other game here. Who wants to have a game later, or who wants to chat about it? Or maybe you see some news about it. You share that article. You think, oh, guys, I've just seen this. What do you think about it? And then you're starting a discussion with people who have similar interests to you. And that's so much better than just jumping into one of these Facebook groups or Discord servers and be like, practice English with me. Because no one cares about your English, as as brutal as that sounds, but they don't.
Right, they're there to play a game. Really don't.
That's it. Yeah. When I'm in Discord servers and stuff and I see people jumping in like, hi, I'm from Russia. I want to practice English. Will someone play with me? I'm like, no, I'm not here to teach you English, mate. I'm here to play Sims. Go away. You know, if you want to play Sims with me, that's fine. Well, not Sims because it's not a multiplayer game, but GTA, you know. I'm here to play GTA. Like, I'm not here to explain grammar to you and, you know, vocabulary as we're playing GTA together. Right. So that's a really good way.
You sell it. Don't sell it. You've got to do a bit of undercover. Yeah. Well, I don't know undercover, but, you know, go in as if you're playing the game and then, you know, you're still getting the benefit of learning English. And like you said, starting a discussion with somebody, then maybe you can play together. And then there you go. You have it sorted.
Treat this like a hobby. You know, treat your gaming like a hobby, like you would in your first language. Like, imagine if I were Russian and I jumped into a server and I said, hi guys, I'm Russian, looking for other Russian streamers to speak Russian with. People would be like, what? They would find it really weird. So you just need to treat this as like, this isn't a way for me to, you know, find people to practice English with. This is a way for me to find people to game with who I can speak English with. And that's it. Don't put English as the priority.
Okay. A good tip. Okay. I have to say, I love The Sims. I told you before today, I was like, that was my favorite game. I remember maybe I was about 12, 13. I'm 29 now. So I was, how old was I when I was like 2002? No, a little bit older, but I used to play on it for hours. I mean,
yeah,
hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. And it was when, you know, when we had the phones and the internet was connected through the phone and you couldn't use the phone if you were on the internet. So I would be like, I don't know if it used the internet or not. I can't remember, but
I think it does.
I don't think it does. Maybe that was because I was on MSN, which was the other one that I used to use a lot. But yeah, one of the things that used to really mess me up about The Sims, I don't know if you were the same, is that I would build a character. I never really got very far. I would build a character, I would build a house, and then I would just move on. I don't know, it was kind of disturbing. Or I wouldn't actually play it. I just built the houses and like put the people in, tried to make them fall in love, or I don't know, cause a fire. And then, I don't know, it was kind of messed up, or like not give them a bathroom or a door because they used to go a bit crazy. And I was like, it's kind of messed up actually.
Or kill them in the swimming pool. Yeah, I mean, I think everyone goes through that phase with The Sims where they just try and kill their Sims in as many different ways as possible. Especially with The Sims 1. I mean, I feel like in The Sims 1, I managed to find it and I downloaded it and I played it for the first time in like 15 years or something like that. You know, it was crazy. So yeah, I'm still playing The Sims 1. And it's like they want to die. You know, they just start fires out of nowhere and everything breaks. It's much harder to play The Sims 1 than it is The Sims 4. I feel like The Sims 4 is made for kids. Like, it's really easy, I find. It gets a bit boring. Sims 1, there's a bit more challenge, you know, trying to actually keep them alive. But I was the same as you. I guess I kind of still am. Like, I always just used to build the houses and then I would put a family inside and it's like, oh, done, bored now.
Move on.
And then I'd move. Yeah. But then I discovered that this is this is really normal, actually. I found that there are different types of simmers. So there are three different types of simmers. Maybe there are more, but these are the three main ones I've come across. I found like builders. So that would be me and you. So there's the builders who play The Sims literally just to build houses. And then there's the Cass simmers. So create a sim, Cass.
Okay.
They spend hours, hours, hours creating a sim, and they download like custom content, and you know, they create their own custom content because they want to make their own clothes and stuff. So they end up creating this, you know, completely unique character, and they put it on the gallery for people to download and stuff like that. And then the other ones where the people actually just play, you know, they kind of play with the Sims, kind of, I think, how the game was originally intended. But yeah, I found it weird as well. Like, oh, I'm not actually playing the game. I'm just building. But then I found that there's a whole community of builders. Like, there are YouTube channels just dedicated to builders on The Sims.
What?
And they create amazing, yeah, they create amazing houses. I don't really watch them, if I'm honest. You know, I don't want to say, oh yeah, I spend like 10 hours a week watching these, you know, YouTube yes. builders or whatever. I don't do that. But it's just so you know that there is a community out there. Like, we're not weird. There is a full community of Sims builders just on YouTube and Twitter and stuff.
That's crazy. I didn't. I've always been a builder, always, and I would also, there was like a cheat that you could put in on the. There was like a cheat where you could do like semicolon bracket, da, 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 and then it would give yep. you like limitless money, so you could. It was one of those cheats, and you could just basically build like any house that you wanted. But I was also yeah. build like small houses and bad houses. Like it was just, it's just very odd. I don't know.
What's the weirdest house I could build? The most uninhabitable house.
Yeah.
It's good. It makes you so creative. And you know, this is what I really like about video games, is that people think, Call of Duty, when they think video games, they think, ooh, it promotes violence. Ooh, it promotes, you know, bad behavior. It reduces attention span, etc. These people haven't played games like The Sims, you know, where they just sit and chill. They have a cup of tea. They're building a house. They're getting really creative. Some of the houses are incredible. Like, people put hours of work, and they have competitions. I mean, now there's like a Sims TV show that I recently discovered, and it's wow. like a kind of competition. I think it's called Sparked, something like that. People can, you know, Google it. Sims TV show, it will come up, I'm sure, if they're that interested. But, you know, it just shows how big it is. I really like as well, you know, you sent me a video before we chatted today about the TED Talk, about why video games, you know, could solve the world's problems. And I watched it and I thought, yeah, I completely agree with that, in the sense that it teaches you so much about collaboration and, you know, not The Sims. It's quite, you know, just me playing. It's quite a lonely game in a way. But it teaches you a lot about collaboration when you're working in a team. For example, Call of Duty, you've got to work with your team to win. If your team sucks, or if you suck, then you're going to lose. And then you let your team down, and then you get mad, and then you rage quit, and you never play again, you know. It teaches a lot about that. It teaches teamwork. It teaches strategy building. It teaches how to use tactics. It teaches you some level of discipline as well. I don't think people would really associate discipline and you know, video games together. But for example, I started playing Fall Guys. I don't know if you know this, but I really, really, really want to try and win a round. So you become disciplined in a way that it's like, I need to keep going, I need to keep going, I need to keep going. And you keep pushing until you win, until you achieve your objective. And that's not something we can always do in everyday life, you know. What challenges do we have where we win a crown? Do you know what I mean? It's kind of sad when you put it like that, but it's true. Many of the goals I achieve, it's like, oh, achieve that goal, tick, done. But video games have a nice rewarding system, and that is addictive. You know, that adds the addictive element to it, and that's why a lot of teenagers and kids get addicted, because they like that feeling of winning. But I think it's because we don't really get it so much in everyday life, you know, and we go
Absolutely.
To the game world to escape that and get that hit of winning. It's nice. Yeah. It's a nice feeling.
It's it's a video by a lady called Jane McGonigal, and I watched it. I sent it to Emma before the podcast today, and it's a video. It's basically exactly what you said. She's talking about, why don't we use games to solve like the world's problems? Because people in games, they keep going, they don't give up, they're very creative, they have to find new ways of doing things, or they have to find the answer. And it's like, exactly. Why don't we use that energy almost, or that drive, and just, I don't know, put like world hunger, and then like see what happens, see what people do. Or it's a very interesting, and I'd never heard anybody talk about it like that before, but it really does, it makes a lot of sense, that perspective. It makes a lot of sense. So I just thought it was really interesting.
Definitely. Yeah. And video games are evolving as well. Like, you know, in the past, it was literally like, you need to do this in order to do this, in order to do this, in order to do this. And it was very linear. But nowadays, if you look at something like Elder Scrolls or like Skyrim, you know, or Zelda, Breath of the Wild, there's not just one clear path that you need to follow. There are different ways to do the same thing. So for people who maybe don't know what on earth I'm talking about, let's take Zelda. You've got to get to this chest in order to get inside and get the loot, you know, get something inside. You need to get a key or something. You can either A, go in, kill the baddies, get the key, get out. Or you could be a little bit more strategic and stealthy, and you could find another way to get in. Maybe your kills are more tactical. So like, okay, if I kill that guy, then, you know, he won't see me pass. If I do it in a, like a stealthy way, da, da, da. Or maybe you just want to go full on sneak mode and you just like sneak in. No one finds out. You're super stealthy. So it's really good that that games are offering so many options to people and making them more creative and making them kind of put their own tactics and their own style of dealing with these things. Because not every player wants to run in, charge and, you know, slay all the baddies. They maybe do want to be a bit more tactical. I mean, like, talking about Skyrim, there are so many different races. So there are different races in the game, and, you know, depending on the race, it gives you certain, you know, advantages and disadvantages, certain benefits and stuff. And then you can choose kind of what you want to be. Do you want to be more like a warrior who runs around with a sword, chopping up the enemies? Do you want to be an archer? Do you want to be a mage and use magic? Do you want to be a mage who also carries a sword, you know, stabs the bad guys in close combat, that kind of stuff? So I really like that it adds that extra layer to games, you know, and that extra layer of creativity. Definitely makes people think more. And I really like that.
Yeah, it's a fantastic idea. And I think like you said, it's something where you can learn English or practice English, and you're not really thinking about it because you're focusing on the strategy of the game or getting to the next level or doing the next thing. So for me, it seems like a fantastic way that people can learn. So where can, just to be clear for everybody, where can they find you for Procrastination with Emma if they want to check out this video game channel? Where can they find you?
So for now, I'm just on Instagram and Twitter as Procrastination with Emma. I know that Twitter's a bit weird. You need to shorten your handle. So I am at Procrast with M.
But if it's very annoying, isn't it?
It's so annoying. I hate Twitter for that. And the limited characters, because as you can tell, I'm quite chatty. But Procrastination with Emma. If you search for me on Twitter, you'll find me there. And of course on Twitch. So on Twitch, I stream every single week. For now, it's just Wednesdays. And if I can fit in Thursdays, I do Thursdays as well. But Wednesdays are a definite, yep, I do those. So Wednesdays, 4 p.m. UK time on Twitch, Procrastination with Emma. You can find me there. I play, so another term in the gaming community, I would refer to myself as a variety streamer, which basically means that I play different games. You know, some streamers, they just play The Sims and only The Sims. But I play, what have I played? I played The Sims, of course. I also did a stream in Spanish, completely in Spanish, for The Sims. And that was really
good. Did you
live
in Spain? You lived in Spain, didn't you?
I lived in Spain for a year, yeah.
Because I could see it on your website. I could see you said you were living. Where did you live in Spain?
I lived in Tarragona.
Ah.
Or Tarragona, as people pronounce it. So it's between Barcelona and Valencia on the coast there. I was there for a year studying as part of my Erasmus. And yeah, I really liked it. I loved it so much. And my boyfriend is Spanish. I met him when I was there and we're still together 7 years later. So yeah, of course I speak Spanish to him. I need to keep up with my Spanish in order to speak it with his family because they don't speak English. So that's how I know Spanish. And yeah, I've kind of just kept up with it. But it was really good actually doing a stream in Spanish because I was focusing so much on the game and, you know, building, I think it was La Casa de Mis Sueños. So it was like the house of my dreams. and I was just like chatting to people, you know, in the chat, of course, and like building my house and explaining like, you know, I don't like this color. It doesn't match. And I didn't know how to say that the colors didn't match in Spanish. So I was asking in the chat, like, you know, ¿cómo se dice they don't match in Espanol? How do you say they don't match in Espanol, in Spanish? And people in the chat were helping me out. So I was learning as well. So yeah, it was great. They were enjoying it in the chats because they get to see the teacher speaking Spanish and in quite a vulnerable position as the learner instead of the teacher. They got to laugh at some of my Spanish. Some of them were laughing at my accent because I speak with the lisp, you know. I say like cerveza, and of course lots of people were like, oh, you say fa-fa-fa-fa. Yes, I know, it's what I learned.
I think students like that sometimes because I'm learning Spanish as well. I mean, I've been in Spain for 3 years now, but I'm still learning. It's because I spend most of my time speaking English, so I'm still learning. But you know, the people on social media and my students, they like it when they're always at the end of the course. They're like, speak Spanish, Anna, speak. What can you say in Spanish? And they're like, I'm like, I don't want to speak Spanish because I don't want to look vulnerable. And but they like to see the roles reversed. I think sometimes they like to see the teacher being the student as well.
That's it. Yeah.
Just to finish up, Emma, one question I like to ask all my guests is there, because I'm a teacher, of course, and you're a teacher as well. I like to ask my fellow teachers their best teacher and their worst teacher throughout their life. Now, of course, you don't have to name any names, but who was your, especially for the worst teacher, I think not everybody would like to say who their worst teacher was, but who's been your best teacher in your life and why?
Yeah, it's a really hard question, actually, because I've had good teachers for different reasons. You know, maybe one of them helped me with like a personal problem, or maybe one was really motivating and kind of believed in me more. I would say that one of my favorite, I can't say that she is the favorite, but one of my favorite was actually a lecturer during my master's degree. So, you know, people find it quite funny actually when I say, oh yeah, I have a master's degree in English language teaching, you know, in education, because I, you know, just play video games for a living. But I do have a master's, and one of my lecturers, she was actually the pragmatics lecturer. You know, she focused on teaching pragmatic acquisition and development in English language learners. And I used to hate pragmatics, absolutely hated it when I was studying it for my degree, you know, for my bachelor's. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh God, I'm really not going to enjoy this class. But it was like a core module. I had to do it during my master's. In the end, I loved it. I ended up writing my dissertation on it. And she was great. I remember she retired, actually, the year like I finished my degree. So she was, you know, close to retirement, just so you get an idea of her age. But I remember there was one essay we had to do, and it was how we had to like create a plan or create like some kind of idea for teaching pragmatic competence in learners. Okay, that was like the general brief. By the way, I didn't explain pragmatics. For anyone listening, it's kind of like the underlying meaning of things. You have the literal meaning of things, and then you have the kind of underlying hidden
meaning. Like subtext.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. So we had to write an essay on that. And I decided, maybe this is kind of what like kind of got me into gaming and teaching more and combining the two. but I wrote an entire essay on how we can use role-playing in Second Life. I don't know if people know what Second Life is. Think of The Sims, but online, and you can play with other people. So using Second Life role-playing to develop and teach pragmatic competence in nurses. So, you know, you can actually build worlds in Second Life. So I had this idea that we could like build a hospital in Second Life. Players could create themselves and then they can join, and you can use that as a way to role play in a real situation that they may actually be in. One person could pretend to be the patient and put on like a funny patient voice or something like that. Because maybe not everyone has the resources to do role plays within the classroom, do you know what I mean? With the machines and everything like that. But as English teachers, we could do that using Second Life. You know, we wouldn't need to spend thousands of pounds on machines and beds and rent a hospital room. Do you know what I mean? We can create something visually like that. And my lecturer loved it. she absolutely loved this idea of using, you know, Second Life and all of this kind of stuff to teach. So she was really good. My worst teacher, I've probably had more worst teachers than best teachers. I think the worst teacher I ever had was my French teacher. And don't worry, she wasn't French, for any French listeners listening in. Because when I say that, people are like, oh no, you know, the French, they've let us down, you know. But she wasn't French. She was actually Irish. And of course, no offense to the Irish. But yeah, she was horrible. She was nasty. And I absolutely hated French because of her. And I hated all languages. Like, I actually told myself, I will never learn another language because I hate it because of her. Like, she really killed my love of other languages. And I was 13, 12 or 13. Yeah, she was horrible. I remember I learned how to tell the time very late in life. I think I was maybe like 13 or 14 by the time I learned how to tell the time. I could tell on a digital clock, that was fine. But on, what's it called? An analog clock.
Yeah.
The time. I struggled. So yeah, one of the tests that we had to do in French was write the time in French. And there was loads of clocks. And if I can't tell the time in my first language, how am I going to tell the time in a second one? So I failed the test. And I still remember, because I failed, she gave me detention. I had to do the test again during my dinner break, lunch break, because I'm from the north, during my lunch break. And I failed it again, because I'm not going to learn how to tell the time in those 5 minutes, you know, between failing the test and starting the next one. And I remember she made me stand at the front of the class in front of the other people who failed the test. And she said, like, how can you fail this again, Emma? Like, what is wrong with you? Can't you tell the time? And I just stood there like, no.
Wow. That's awful. That's really, wow.
Traumatic?
Yeah, quite traumatic. Very traumatic. Yeah. Like, stand at the front and I'm going to, like, ridicule you for not being able to do something.
Yeah. Well, humiliation. It's horrible.
Yeah. But it's amazing how much a difference, like you were talking about, the best teacher, and how much they, inspired you, but motivated you to do something. And then the difference of having someone, like, that makes you hate something. Like, you can go from loving something, yes, to hating something just because of one person. Wow. Well, very definitely fascinating chat, Emma. I've really, really enjoyed that. I love to learn about your channel, all these games. And I think I'm going to leave all the links for Emma's stuff in the description for the podcast as well. So all of the links will be there, so you can find her on Twitch. And thank you so much for coming on, Emma. It's been great to meet you and great to chat with you.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for inviting me on. I quite like doing podcasts, so I've enjoyed this.
You should do a podcast. Your voice sounds great. You should do a podcast.
Thank you. Actually, it's quite funny because, you know, we were kind of joking about me starting to do ASMR. I don't know if you know about ASMR.
What's that?
ASMR. Oh, you know, I actually like looked for the name of it, like the full name, but it's, you know, if you go on YouTube and type ASMR videos, it brings up all these kinds of, you know, hello, my name is Emma, and today we're going to make make noises like this. And they just like, you know, get pieces of paper and, you know, make noises. It's like this audio cinch. What's the word? It's like, it's basically like using audio in a kind of soothing way. And a lot of my followers and stuff, particularly on Twitch, you know, they were kind of saying, oh, you should start an ASMR channel. So I joked and I said, you know, one day, guys, I'm going to start an ASMR channel and you're not going to know. I'm going to start it secretly and I'm going to see if any of you will find it, you know, and
guess my voice or
that's it. Yeah.
Because isn't it like some people like really weird things? Like they like to hear, I don't know, like rubbing of like the skin or like a nail, yes, or something weird. And they find it very relaxing. And it's like very specific sounds that people like. I've heard about that.
Yes.
I've heard that people can have like these amazing channels and make a lot of money doing it.
Yeah. And that could be me.
Yeah, that could be you.
No one will ever know. I'd be this like secret, you know. It would be like
you don't have to do videos. You don't have to do videos. So that's if you don't, you know, you could just. It's just the sound. You don't have to do anything else. It's perfect.
That's it. My ASMR podcast, and no one will know it's me. Yeah, they were kind of joking, and it got inappropriate after a while because if you look at ASMR videos on YouTube, it does start to get very, very, very niche. Let's call it very specific.
Yes, I was going to say if you ask most people about that, they probably have a different idea of what that would mean. But some of it is totally innocent and very like, yes, there's no like other motive. It is just like about relaxing sounds. But yes, well, we'll look forward to that, Emma. We'll look forward to your
if it is a hard
channel, your secret one.
I've got no plans right now, but we'll see.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as me. It was fantastic to have Emma on. And one thing that I really like about Emma, and that I think it comes across really well in the episode, is her sense of humor. And I think that she has a very British sense of humor, also quite a northern sense of humor as well. And she really just encapsulates it. It made me laugh. You could hear me laughing during the podcast. It was really, really, really funny. And it really brightened up my day actually to talk to her. And she's a really, really great. She seems like a really great person. And she's doing some fantastic work, some really different work in the English teaching field. So I'm going to leave all of the links for Emma's things in the description of the podcast for Pronunciation with Emma, which is what she's really well known for. And then this new project, this new channel called Procrastination with Emma, which is quite a nice play on that. So I'll leave all those links in the description. Check it out if you don't know her already. I really, really recommend her pronunciation videos. I think they're fantastic. I've used them myself, not to correct my pronunciation, but also just to coach myself on ways that I can show the students to pronounce certain words. So they've been a really valuable tool for me as well. So I really, really recommend them. And if you love video games, make sure you check it out. I mean, what's better? Doing something you like and learning English at the same time. As Emma said, it's a hobby. So make sure you check it out. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back next week for episode number 54 of Anna with Two N's. Don't forget to check me out on Instagram at Anna_with_2Ns_English. If you love the podcast, if you like the podcast, give me a little subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or iVoox. And I will see you soon for another Anna with Two N's. It's been a long outro. I don't know if you can call it an outro or an intro. It's been a long outro today, but I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.